ते श्रुति पता परता जानन योमिमुयति कश्चन तस्मात् सर्वेषु कालेषु योगयुक्तो भवार्जुन.
The devotees who know these two paths, O Arjuna, are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is here advising Arjuna that one should not be disturbed by the different paths the soul can take when leaving the material world. A devotee of the Supreme Lord should not worry whether he will depart either by arrangement or by accident. The devotee should be firmly established in Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. He should know that concern over either of these two paths is troublesome. The best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to be always dovetailed in his service, and this will make one's path to the spiritual kingdom safe, certain, and direct. The word yoga yukta is especially significant in this verse. One who is firm in yoga is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness in all his activities. Sri Rupa Goswami advises that one should be unattached to the material world and that all affairs should be steeped in Krishna consciousness. In this way, one attains perfection. Therefore, the devotee is not disturbed by these descriptions because he knows that his passage to the Supreme Abode is guaranteed by devotional service. Translation: the devotees who know these two paths, O Arjuna, are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. During the time that the Pandavas were training under the great Brahmin military instructor Dronacharya, they were being taught in very, very tremendous discipline how to properly perform their duties as Kshatriyas. Some people ask, when I am going to school, it appears that I am not doing any service for the Lord. I'm just studying and studying and studying. And these books do not say anything about Krishna. They are simply talking about engineering or business or commerce talking about human anatomy or various diseases. Just like recently, one of our devotees, she was studying some medical book, and I happened to look in the medical book, and I don't think I understood more than three words on the whole page. It was all very, very sophisticated, technical, medical language. And there were pictures of all these horrible diseases. And she said to me, how am I supposed to think about Krishna when I have to study 8 to 10 hours a day this book? Huh? So sometimes we think that we are wasting our time. Possibly you are. But on the other hand, if it is the desire of Guru and the desire of Krishna that you study, then you should know that in the end, whatever you learn will be used in Krishna's service. This is the preparation. And the preparation itself is devotional service. It is so service to the Lord. If your consciousness is that in the end, whatever I learn will be offered to Krishna. Therefore, with this consciousness, While you are engaged in your studies, you are factually engaged in bhakti, devotional service. It is not so much what you do, but the consciousness and the spirit in which you do it. So the Pandavas, they were simply learning how to organize military troops, how to create different military strategic formations on the battlefield, how to fight with club, how to fight with bow and arrow, how to fight with hand-to-hand combat, how to ride on the chariot. But because it was their service to be kshatriyas, their training was bhakti. So, of course, in any training, there must be test. Nobody likes to be tested, but it is necessary. Because the purpose of a test is that you are forced to digest, understand, and assimilate what you've been learning. You can sit in classroom all day long, all semester, and you could pretend that you're learning, but how much are you really absorbing the subject matter? At the time of the test, you are forced to show how much you have absorbed the subject matter. So similarly, in spiritual life, Krishna tests us. First through the sadhus, through the guru, they give us so much theoretical knowledge. But what will inspire us to really absorb this knowledge? There are so many persons who can quote so many slokas, but they do not have any realization of Krishna. You cannot attain Krishna consciousness by scholarship. You cannot attain Krishna consciousness by any amount of memorization of the Shastra. You can only attain Krishna consciousness in a spirit of utter humility by applying these teachings to your life and assimilating them. So therefore, Krishna puts us in testing conditions from time to time, just so that we are forced to understand the urgency. We understand it is an emergency situation that I must practice Krishna consciousness from the bottom of my heart now. Just like there was one devotee who was a very good friend of mine. And back in the early 70s, he was quite a sincere devotee. But there is always a tug of war in spiritual life. Krishna is all attractive, and he's pulling your mind and consciousness this way. But Maya is also presenting herself very attractive and trying to pull your mind this way. The illusory energy is trying to take you away from Krishna, and Krishna is trying to take you away from illusion. And you are the marginal energy. You are in between. You are forced at every moment to make one choice or the other. You cannot stand in the middle. You cannot stand between Maya and Krishna. You have to choose one or the other at every moment. Not that you choose one and then it's finished. At every moment you have the choice. And you must make that surrender choice every moment. Will I surrender to Maya, to the illusion of the senses and their objects? Or will I surrender to the supreme, all-loving personality of Godhead? So this devotee, we should not criticize someone if they are a little weak. We should have sympathy for them. This person became weak and he succumbed to Maya. And he would never criticize devotees. He was always very respectful in that sense. He always accepted that this is the highest philosophy and this is the highest path, and that this is really what he wants to do. But he was just too weak. So he was not able to get up to perform his morning sadhana. He was not chanting according to the vow he made to his spiritual master. In fact, he was not even following the four regulative principles. And he gradually drifted away. But his heart was always thinking that what I really want is Krishna consciousness, but I just cannot do it. So one time he was talking to a devotee, and that devotee said, "So when are you going to become more serious about your spiritual life? You're wasting your life away." The person started to cry. He said, "I don't know, I just can't do it. This is too difficult for me." He said, "I think the only thing that's going to make me serious is if I get cancer." Huh? Now, as you know, Krishna's in your heart. He's seeing everything you do. He's tasting everything you eat. He's smelling everything you smell. He's hearing everything you say. He's witnessing every thought. Through our senses, Krishna is fully cognizant of our life. So he gave Krishna the information. Not that Krishna needed it, but it is his lila. He gave Krishna the information of what it would take to make him serious. So not more than 1 year later, he came down with a terrible, terrible case of cancer. It was such a sudden and abrupt and intense attack upon his body that as soon as it even manifested, when he went to the hospital, the doctors, the specialists, they said, "If you have 6 weeks, you'll be lucky to live." But we can try this chemotherapy and all these other methods. So he went and he performed all these methods. Then he tried some natural cures and everything, and nothing was working. Then he realized it was hopeless. He was about to die. And then he moved to New Vrindavan, and he was chanting, crying out for Krishna all day long. And he was praying to Krishna, "Thank you very much. This is just what I need." Who knows? If I would have gone on for 100 years living a nice life the way I have and die of old age, I don't know where I would have gone. Or if I would have all of a sudden died in an accident, an auto accident or some other accident, living the way I was, I don't know where I would have gone. But you've given me this little bit of time, and now I understand that it is my life's urgent business to become Krishna conscious. It is an emergency. Whatever I've heard years ago, now I must apply to my life. I must assimilate it. I must strive and do everything and anything possible to realize it. He became very serious. He was practically an instant Paramhamsa. Huh? He became very serious. And he was inspiring all the devotees. He was just thanking God with such gratitude. "Thank you for giving me this gift. Now I'm serious. Now I don't care about anything except your lotus feet." And he was chanting and chanting and chanting. He ended up living about 6 months. Huh? But he lived that 6 months in such a way that when it was time for him to leave the world, there was a whole assembly around his bed having kirtan. And he said, "My only regret is I could have done so much more for my spiritual master in my life. I have no other regrets in life." And one devotee, he was trying to make him very comfortable physically. And he said, "What are you trying to bother me with these material comforts?" So Let me just think of Krishna. That is my only shelter now. If you want to make me comfortable, have kirtan with me. Huh? Forget all these pillows and all these massages. Just have kirtan with me. That is the only thing that will comfort my soul. So this is a test. Of course, this is a very final exam. But within this life, before the final exam of death, a good teacher will give you so many pre-exams to prepare yourself for the final exam, just to show that you're serious, to inspire you to become serious, to make Krishna the object of your life. So I'm explaining the story of how Drona, he decided to test the Pandavas, how much they were learning. So what he did is he took a imitation bird, small bird, and he put it on top of a tree. And then he called Maharaj Yudhisthira. He said, Yudhisthira? Yes, Guruji? You see that bird in that tree? Yudhisthira said, yes. He said, point your bow to shoot the eye of that bird. And Yudhisthira, he strung his arrow and pointed it at the eye. And Drona said, what do you see? He said, I see the bird. Drona said, do you see anything else? He said, I see the trees. I see my four brothers. I see you. I see the sky. Drona said, step aside. Bhima, come forward. You see that bird in the tree? Take your arrow and pierce its eye. He strung his bow and arrow. Dronacharya asked him, what do you see? Drona said, I see the bird. Do you see anything else? He said, I see the branch that he's sitting on, and I see the leaves around him. Drona said, step aside. And then he called Arjuna. Arjuna, come. Yes, Guruji. You see that bird in this branch of the tree? Yes, Guruji. Aim toward its eye. Arjuna took his mighty Gandiva bow with one of his celebrated arrows from the quiver and pointed it toward the eye of the bird. Drona asked, what do you see? Arjuna said, I see the eye of the bird. Drona said, do you see anything else? He said, no, nothing else. He said, do you see the tree that he's sitting on? He said, no, there is no tree. Do you see the body of the bird? He says, no, I see no body. Do you see the head of the bird? He said, no, I cannot see the head. I can only see the eye. Dronacharya said, now you shoot. And Arjuna pierced the eye. In spiritual life, if we want to actually achieve the goal, we have to have this one-pointed, fixed vision on Krishna. We have to make Krishna the object of everything that we do in life. We have to dovetail all of our activities in his loving service. This is what Gita is teaching. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yaj juhoshi didasi yat yat tapasya sikonte yat tat kuru samadharapanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away should be done as an offering for me. Samasita ye pada palava plavam mahatpadam punya yashomurari. Kripambu dirvatsa padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. That those who are the great souls, they make no goal in their life anything having to do with this temporary material world. But their only goal is the lotus feet of Lord Hari, Mukunda. Because they know that this material world is a place padam padam yad vipadam nateshyam, where there is danger at every step. We are investing our valuable, precious human energy, and we do not know whether there will be any return. In fact, in the end, we will lose everything.
Our Ashok Parekh is a stock consultant, I believe, huh? So if you were to counsel someone that this particular stock, you have to put huge sum of money to buy even one share, and it's guaranteed that in the end, you'll lose everything. Huh? How many people would buy that stock? Nobody? That's what you're saying. But factually, 99.9% of the percent of the population of the world is buying that stock. Huh? Because there's nothing more precious than every moment that we have in our human life. Chanakya Pandit said that if a man loses a crore of rupees, he still has a chance of making it back in this life. But if a man wastes one moment, can he get that moment back? For 100 crores of rupees, can you buy back one moment that has passed, that has been wasted? So every moment of human life is more valuable than anything within the creation, because it's the only thing that you can never get back. So that which has the most costly value, our human energy, the time within our human life, we are investing in the stocks of this world, where it is guaranteed that at the time of death, you'll lose everything. You invest in a car, at the time of death, the car is gone forever. Everything you have is gone forever. If you try to consider this matter realistically, this world is crazy, huh? But because we are so much blinded by illusion, we cannot even perceive the reality in front of us. We are investing all of our wealth, and it's guaranteed that there will be no return. We will lose it all. Therefore, Krishna says in the second chapter of Gita, Neha vikramanasosi pratyavayo nividyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. That in spiritual endeavor, there is no loss. There is no diminution. Whatever you invest, what do you call it when something is always carrying on your investment? Huh? In spiritual life, whatever investment is always in the process of appreciation, according to the stock consultant here. Huh? It is always growing. Even if you die, if you are 20% Krishna conscious, you begin at 21%. Nothing is lost. Therefore, this is the one-pointed vision of one who is serious about solving the problems of this world. One has to have this fixed purpose. Vyavashayatmaka budhir eke hakuru nandana bahushaka hyanantascha budhayo vyavashayanam. Those who are on this path, says Lord Krishna, they are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. Their aim is one. And those who are not on this path, their intelligence is many-branched. Whatever object of the senses come before us, we want that. We see something on television, some advertisement, we want that. Our neighbor has some new material form of sense gratification, and our wife says, I want that. Huh? In this way, this illusory energy, Maya, Daivihishu gunamai mamamaya duratyaya, very difficult to overcome, because she is constantly 24 hours a day presenting an alternative to Krishna. Krishna is saying,
Aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartite iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvata.
That I am the source of everything that exists. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. He says, with all their hearts. But Maya is always trying to take our heart somewhere else at every moment. Those who are most unfortunate, who are not on the path of yoga, they are simply imprisoned. Durga means prison, literally from Sanskrit language. They are imprisoned by the illusion that I am the enjoyer. They are slaves of Maya. Their mind, their senses are constantly being dragged from one sense object, from one goal of life to the next, from one aspiration to another. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, Bhogai swarya prasakta nam thaya parita chetasam vyavashayatmaka buddhira samadho navadiyate. That those who are too much attached to material enjoyment and opulence of this world, for them, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place.
Tani saravani samyamya yukta asita makpara. Vasehi asyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtita.
Krishna says that one who restrains his senses, restraining your senses means to be willing to say no when Maya presents an alternative. But how long can you just go on saying no? Saying no to everything has no pleasure. It's just avoiding pain. But ananda mayo vyashat, we are all pleasure seeking by nature. We cannot just go on saying no all day and all night. We have to say yes to something and find pleasure in that. Therefore, Krishna says, one who restrains his senses and fixes his consciousness upon me, he is a man of steady intelligence. So Krishna consciousness means these two principles, yama and niyama. To accept things favorable for devotion to Krishna and to reject things unfavorable. To say yes to Krishna and no to Maya. But the only way we can constantly say no to Maya is if our minds and senses are constantly saying yes to Krishna. That must be our goal, our priority in life. The Bible, Lord Jesus Christ, he was also saying like this. All the great acharyas have spoken about this one-pointed, fixed goal in life. Without that, you cannot attain Krishna consciousness. You cannot attain the kingdom of God. Jesus said that the road to the kingdom of God is very narrow, but the road to illusion is very wide. He also said, be ye hot or cold, but if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out. Huh? He's Guru, he's speaking on behalf of God. So hearing this, someone may be thinking, my God, I'm in a hopeless condition. What to do? I have a wife and family. Do I have to just fix my mind on Krishna and completely neglect them? Huh? That is not what Krishna is saying. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, karma nevadikaraste ma paleshu dukashchana ma karma pale hetur bhur mate sangostu karmani. You have a right to perform your duty. In fact, you must do your duty. It is sinful to give up your duties. But the goal of your duty must be to offer the fruits to me. That means whatever your duty is must be seva for me. Bhakti. Bhakti means that whatever we do, it is an act of devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. That is our goal. That is what we hope to attain in everything we do, everything we say, everything we think. We are hoping to enrich our Krishna consciousness. We are hoping to enrich our life with deeper and deeper realizations of love of God. And the propaganda of this world is constantly trying to tear our minds away from this goal. Therefore, we need counter-propaganda. And that's what the temple of the Lord is meant to be giving. The temple of the Lord, whether it be Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, Radhe Shyam, the temple of the Lord is meant specifically for the purpose of making counter-propaganda against the influence of Kali, the illusions of this world. As soon as you step outside, buy this, eat this, have this, earn this, you'll be happy. And here we say, forget it all. Your only happiness is in bhakti, in devotion to God. Huh? So whatever you may be in life, if you have the association of sadhus, and you are regularly engaging in the process given by the sadhus, chanting the holy names, giving up sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, speaking only things that are constructive to the welfare of other spiritual lives, engaging our life's energies and our resources in the betterment of society, to uplift our own life and uplift our loved ones and uplift all brothers and sisters around us. Every living being is our brother and sister. This is bhakti. So let us not be slaves to the enemy of Maya. But let us wholeheartedly agree to be Krishna's slave. Huh? It is a fact. Spiritual life is slavery. But it is not slavery that is forced upon you. It is being out of love, allowing yourself to be the slave of God. And that slavery is the ultimate pleasure, the ultimate joy of the soul. If you love someone, there's no greater fortune than being that person's slave. Huh? Let your will be done. I have no separate interest. All of our problems in this world is because we have a separate interest from the desire of God. Bhakti means no separate interest. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was teaching Arjuna that you want like this and like this and like that, but I want like this. And this is why. And he spoke all 700 verses of Gita to explain why and how. And in the end, Arjuna said, Krishna, I have no separate interests. What you want, I will do. That is love. That is surrender.
Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami masucha.
So why should we go on loitering in this material existence, thinking that we're happy? It is a grand illusion. Let us fix our consciousness on the true goal. Let us not be deviated or diverted from the true path of life. That is the only means of happiness, real happiness. In the Bhagavatam, we read the story of Bharat Maharaj. He was a great king. He ruled the whole world. He was the son of Rishabhdev, who was an incarnation of God himself. You can imagine the exalted position of Bharat Maharaj. But when he reached an age, he performed his duties very, very carefully, with very great devotion. But when his son was old enough to take over the kingdom, he did not want to hold on to his position till the fag end of his life. With great jubilation, he turned all of his wealth, all of his power, all of his opulence, everything over to his son, and he went off to the Himalayas, where he was living on the bank of the Gandaki River, Kali Gandaki. And there he was simply engaging in devotion to God. And he was making deeper and deeper and deeper advancement toward the Lord in his heart. But it is explained that one day, as he was sitting on the bank of the river, he heard the roaring of a tiger. Running from that tiger was an innocent mother deer who was pregnant with a baby. She was running for her life. Jiva jiva sajivanam, this world, one person's pleasure is another person's death. Huh? Isn't that the way this world is? The survival of the fittest. One businessman works so hard to be a success, and in the meanwhile, because of his success, the businessman next door goes bankrupt, right? Isn't that the way this world is? Not a very compassionate place. My success is your failure. One politician is out trying to get so many votes, and when he wins, he's crying in great happiness. I have won, I have conquered. And meanwhile, his opponent is in the bar somewhere trying to get so drunk that he forgets that he's even existing. He's lost everything, huh? This is the way of the world. For the tiger to eat the deer, he's thinking, ah, very, very nice. I had a nice dinner tonight. But the deer is thinking, I'm being eaten alive. So the tiger was chasing the deer. Now, if you're a tiger, you're thinking the success is if he eats the deer. And if you're a deer, you're thinking that if the deer gets away, that is a success. Huh? So everyone has their sides in this world. That is why there is so much conflict. Everyone is thinking, take care of number one. And then they all make their sides, who has a common interest for sense gratification, and then they have wars against each other. Huh? Battles, wars, fighting, quarrels. That is this world. So Bharat Maharaj saw that the deer, trying to escape from the lion, began to jump over the river Gandaki. And as she was leaping over the river, the lion roared. Or was it a tiger? It was a tiger. And when the tiger roared, she became so frightened that she had a miscarriage. And little tiny baby deer fell into the water. And the mother was on the other side. And she went into a little cave. And she thought, my baby is dead. And she felt so bad. The love of a mother for its child in any species of life is so sweet and so deep that the mother could not bear living seeing her child drowning in the river. So she lay down and died. So Bharat Maharaj was thinking, my God, what to do? I have to help this little baby. So he went in the water, and it was such a beautiful, deers are so beautiful as they are. Can you imagine a baby deer? So sweet, so nice, so beautiful. He began to nurse the deer with his own hands, protect it. And pretty soon, he became the mother and the father of the deer. And after the same time, he became so attached to this deer that he couldn't live without it. As the deer was getting a little older, the deer would go out. If he was coming home a little bit late, Bharat Maharaj would be looking all around. Where is my little deer? He would be crying out to the moon, have you seen my deer? He would be crying out to the trees, where is my beautiful little deer? And when he would see the footprints on the earth, he would say, my earth, you are so fortunate. You are bearing the footprints of this most beautiful little deer. In this way, he became attached to the deer. So much attached, he had no more any time to chant the holy names of the Lord, and he gave up practically all, even when he was sitting in meditation. He was just thinking of this deer. What to give my deer? Where is my deer? You see, at every stage, even if you're on a very high level, Maya will always give you another alternative. They'll give you a free sample, knowing that you'll be addicted after one time. Huh? There's something in America called crack. You have heard of crack? Crack is the most dangerous of all drugs because it's very cheap, but you take it one time and you're addicted for life. So what these drug dealers do is they go around and they say, ah, free sample, I'm your friend. After all, does anyone give you anything free in this world unless they're really your friend? Well, I am your friend, take this free sample. Just try it. You don't have to be my regular, just try it once. Tell me if you like it. You try it once, you're addicted. From then on, you're simply chasing after the person. Give me more, give me more, give me more. Nah, you have to give me $500 for another one. And you go out and rob banks and beat up old women. Just, that's what they do. New York City means beating up old women and robbing banks and doing anything for a little crack. It's everywhere. It's the biggest problem in the city. They don't know what to do. So Maya is like a drug peddler. She gives you a free sample. Just try it once. Yes, I know you're a devotee. I know you're worshiping the deities. You're chanting the holy names. But don't be a fanatic. After all, you have to have some relief from all this bhakti all the time. There has to be some outlet for a natural life in this world. So just try a little. Just once. All right, I'll try it once. But don't ever bother. No, just try it. And once you try, then you're hooked. You become a slave. You cannot give it up. Very difficult. Even on the elevated platform of Bharat Maharaj, he became so much attached to this deer that at the time of death, he was thinking, who will take care of my deer? Now I am dying. Who will take care of this deer? And everybody knows what his destination was after he left that body. He became a deer. Not D-E-A-R, but D-E-E-R. Krishna, one of Krishna's name is Priya, right? Priya means deer. He didn't become Priya. What is the Hindi word for... What? Like that, yes. I haven't learned that one yet. He became a deer, D-E-E-R, an animal. But by God's grace, because he had made such good spiritual advancement before this accepting the alternative of Maya,
He could remember his previous life. He could remember all of his mistakes. And he was thinking, my God, what a crazy fool I am. I was this far from the spiritual world. I had renounced kingdom. I had renounced children. I have renounced family. I have renounced power, armies, gold, palaces, everything. Only for Krishna. And then at the last minute, Maya sent a deer. And I surrendered. In this deer body, he's simply associated with devotees. Wherever the devotees were in the forest, reciting Srimad Bhagavat, reciting any of the pastimes of the Lord or the narrations of the goal of life, the deer would just be simply a listening, absorbed. And then that deer, after a short time, died. And he became the son of a Brahmin. And that is a long story, Jad Bharat. In this birth, he could remember his two previous births. This was a gift of Krishna because of his exalted devotion. Krishna never abandons his devotee. He'll teach you many lessons, but he'll never abandon you. Once you take the devotional path sincerely, even if you make the most horrible mistakes, you must be punished. You must learn your lesson, but Krishna will never abandon you. He'll always be giving you newer and better ways to come back to him. So his name was at this time Jad Bharat. He decided that I'm not going to let anything take my mind away from Krishna. The more you enjoy in this world, the more you're prone to be diverted from the real path. Huh? So therefore, he was pretending that he was completely crazy. He would do everything wrong on purpose. His father would say, when you go to the bathroom, what you do is first you go near the river, and then you respond to nature, and after that, you take this lota of water and you wash your hands. Very simple? All right, like that. So he would, just so that everyone would think he was crazy, he would go to the river, he would wash his hands very thoroughly, then he would respond to nature, then he would clean himself, then he would come home. Huh? When I meant clean himself, not with water. Huh? He would do everything backwards. He would wash his hands, eat, and then he wouldn't wash his hands. He was like a madman. He was like a crazy man. He was so crazy that at one point, his brothers, they thought he was such a reject of the family, he couldn't do anything properly. They decided we have to give him some service. So they put him in a field and told him to stand there and keep the crows away from the corn. Huh? At that time, some dacoits captured him and wanted to offer him to Goddess Kali. But when they were about to chop his head off, Kali Mataji, from the deity, she manifests and cut off the heads of all the dacoits. You dare to try to harm Krishna's devotee? Of course, it is a very long and beautiful story, but in the end, Jad Bharat ended up becoming the guru of the king. Ruhugna, instructing him in the true goal of life. And after instructing the king, who later on made the whole kingdom God conscious, if you imitate him, you will die very soon. But we can follow the principle. What is the principle? Vyabhashayatmaka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahusha kahyanantascha budhayo vyabhashayanam. That you must be resolute in purpose, your aim must be one. You must make Krishna the priority of your life. And do not let anyone or anybody or anything create any other priority, any other goal except devotion to God. This must be our conviction. this is the purpose and the goal of life. And it is simple and it is sublime. Krishna is non-different than his name. Keep your mind fixed on Krishna. It is very simple. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Always chant the holy names with this determination. Come to the temple, see the beautiful form of the Lord. Taste the wonderful prasad of the Lord. Hear the pravachan glorifying the Lord. Your works, whatever you do in this world, whether you be a businessman or a housewife or a student or a doctor, dovetail whatever you are doing so that ultimately it is for the pleasure of Krishna. What pleases Krishna? The ultimate pleasure to Krishna is when we live for the upliftment of others in his service. Let us concentrate on this. Let us transform all of our energies as this offering to Krishna. All of our endeavors, let them culminate as this type of offering to the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the natural pleasure of the soul, and that is the price of liberation from the cycle of birth and death. And that is the key to the door of Vaikuntha, the spiritual world where there is no anxiety, where there is only love.